Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about this, because it's important. You are listening to, I am DJ Butterfly Feces, and you are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone. I'm also here on the other side of this line is the one and only Organic. Okay, Organic, speak.
Yes, this is Comedian Organic, okay? And yes, this show is called Cocooning from the Microphone. The DJ Butterfly CC.
The one and only, except no substitutions. All right, we're here. Okay, call in. Please get involved with the cause. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right, good people, great people. People, we invite you to get involved with this. Now, if you're just tuning in, I might as well tell the story again. I used to live, before I began this crusade, this noble, heroic, what have you, I lived basically in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, where horses had the right of way. And I did everything there was to do in that town. I wasn't the kind of guy who really thought I was going to have a lot of big life plans and whatnot, and I wasn't expecting, basically, I didn't really think about the big picture very much. I thought I was just going to sit back and indulge. It doesn't matter what I do for a living. Didn't matter as long as I could live and stay in McKinleyville. Beautiful McKinleyville. Now, honestly, I had basically been, well, I was living there basically. I coasted through my whole life. I was a C average student. I basically, from nursery school pretty much all the way to high school. And then when it was time for college, my parents didn't exactly set up a fund. They didn't have the money to send me to college. So I just found the typical trap, that a lot of people do when they don't have these big plans, whatever. I stayed home. I just sat there and just watched the world go by. I did. I watched the world go by. Now, I've been living with my parents for quite some time. One day, it got to the point where basically my parents were tired and they wanted me to go out. It's not they wanted more time to themselves, because my parents never could stand each other's company. But basically, just having anybody else around was kind of an ordeal. I think they let me stay as long as I did, because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't. Anywho, what happened was, I remember, I just left with the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't even half full. True. Anyway, I was walking basically through. I walked out of the house, didn't even look back. Okay, I looked back, because I was thinking, this can't be it. I mean, they're throwing me out on the street. And there's a lot of people still living with their families, parents and whatever, because the economy is really, really bad right now. The world is bad. Things are bad. Things are real bad. Anywho, what happened was, I just started walking through town again. I thought, maybe I can be a vagrant out here, a wino. Whatever. No, wino implies that you're a drunk. Anywho, what happened was, there I was in the woods, in the dang woods, and I happened to be walking along the creek, along the trail, and then, lo and behold, I came across Organic OK. You remember Organic, don't you? I came to you.
Yeah, I heard you.
Yeah. And I basically asked what you were doing here, what you were doing, what in all this mess, what was going on. And I basically, at first I thought they were just some local vagrants from the park, whatever. But the truth was, they turned out to be actual people who were living in McKinleyville, California. No, they weren't living here. You told me the whole tale, that you were basically going all around trying to save the planet. How? You were basically doing a community service, so to speak, He told me he was a wealthy philanthropist who was basically going up and down, up and down to every city there was that he could find and picking garbage up off the street.
Stop pocket checking me. I didn't say nothing about wealthy. You talk about wealthy and all that. What would I tell you wealthy for? Anybody that understands how this can come together, we're not going to be bringing up, I'm not going to be bringing up that. Don't do that. You're putting this into an opposition that we don't have to necessarily go through. You're going to say a wealthy guy. Right. That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we didn't want to.
No.
You were funding the whole trip.
Okay. Now, Mr. That's the thing here. That's all we need is that kind of behavior sent out to the air so people think they can get something.
Yeah, I remember you didn't want me to basically
You sound like annoying Dennis and Menace right now.
Anywho, he was a philanthropist who said he was going around picking up garbage, helping the community, all that noise. And he invited me to join him. Now, to me, I was just shocked. I was like, is this really happening? Is this really happening? Because the truth was, just the idea was basically blew me away. I mean, I just got thrown out on the street tonight and already I'm getting an opportunity to do something. See, I was never about doing anything big and important or whatever. I was just going to stop, kind of guy who just stops and smells the roses. But, well, what he talked about, what he was all about. So there you go.
Okay.
Anywho.
This kind of got the feeling of politics. You realize this is like some politics you're talking about, and people are talking, are you under some kind of politician trail or something like that? That's
it's
what
not a political
like.
Issue. This is a moral issue. Helping the world. He swore me in. He basically dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feces. I wasn't in love with the name, but dang it, I was still willing to play ball no matter what it was. Whatever he asked me to do, I was going to do.
Honestly.
Anywho, what happened was it was around the holidays, so a little later, we flew all the way to Vicenza, Italy. Yeah, for New Year's Day, where they celebrated a little bit differently, a little more special in Italy. I couldn't believe it. I was abroad. But, you know, it was something. It was something.
So I'll stop right now flying your kites or something right now because I just keep hearing breathing on the line. Is that the reason why you breathe on the line? Is it any kind of way, Mr. Feces, you can back up your mouth?
Okay, nobody told you this in school, but dang it, people have to breathe or else they'll die.
Well, it's quiet. It'd be quiet.
Anywho, we've gone from place to place. And in our last episode, we had basically made it to Las Vegas. I told you, we were going around doing a lot, a bunch, a whole mess, personally, whatever, but somehow it still wasn't enough. Las Vegas is one of those big major cities where they have a big homeless problem. And once again, I had my own preconceived notions about Las Vegas. You know what I'm talking about. I thought everybody just gambled there. Everything was there for the taking. It was paradise. Everyone is a kid in a candy store there, but basically, it's the countdown to everybody's broke.
You said the countdown.
Yeah. And then I did some actual learning. I went over there, and guess what? I saw. And I noticed, I always thought that basically every single iota of Las Vegas is going to look like those big, epic, broad casinos and hotels and whatever. And I was amazed how much of it really looked broken down and decayed and how there were homeless people all over the place, like anywhere else we'd been to. Now, as I told in the last episode, we were in the car. We were pretty much, Organic was basically about ready to say it's time to go. But I asked Organic, can we stay here just one more day? I feel like there's still more to be done. Now, we did some stuff out there. We really did. What can I say? It just didn't feel like there's enough. I looked around. The damn place still looked destitute somehow. I know there's only so much we can do. Or should I say so little? But still, there was work to be done. I just had to make things a little bit better before I left. And how? And what? I took it all in. Got a good lay of the land. Okay, now what? What does Vegas sorely need? That was the $10 million question. Vegas seemed to have everything, but somehow, it had everything, including homeless people. Lots of them. There were some who lived underground under the flood tunnels, and there were some who basically lived living all over the place. I thought of them as gamblers who just didn't want to stop gambling, but it ain't that simple. Many of them were thrown on the street for the same reason that basically all the other people placed me at visiting on the street. Technology became so advanced that people weren't necessarily needed. They started taking in basically people fired from their jobs, thrown out in the cold, just laid off. There tend to be a lot more homeless people can thrive better in warmer climates, but still. I was really sad with what I had seen out here. I wanted to do something. Organic suggested, remember what he said, live as they do. Spend some time on the streets yourself. Walk amongst them. I was scared of that. Why? Well, come on. See, I think people shun the homeless because they're too afraid to get too close. Not because they're dirty or nothing, but you spend time with somebody, your characteristics rub off. You may look at them as a friend, decide you might want to be on the street with them. I think I heard that somewhere. So people don't want to get too close. But like I said, you know, I think everybody should basically live homeless lifestyle just for a little while. See what it's like. That's what's like your whole life. You're always careful about the company you keep. You gotta be. Because there are certain people who are just going to, they're going down and they will take you with them.
I don't condone everybody go through that. It's for everybody. I don't condone oppositions that are not needed for somebody, you know, to truly help someone is not necessarily having to go through their shoes. I think one of the things that you're not giving people is, you know, one time you was a child, and the things that you experienced as a child, I don't think that you should have to go through anybody else's oppositions or things, because that'll always make the character in you better by seeing other people's trauma, depending on what it is. You got to understand, everybody's not meant to go through the same oppositions, right? Like I said this before, I don't know if you ever heard it before, just like, and like imagine if some people was like an 8-track, right? Think about their mindset of falling down, picking an 8-track up and be able to still use it. Think about some people like the 45s, they fall and they're not damaged. Imagine the people that are like the CDs, that don't take much for them to be completely wiped out, right? Everybody is not at the same level of oppositional, you know, things that inspire them. People are not inspired exactly by the exact same. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, it's like somebody you impact their life and they think, oh, as if you say this, if you're tackling me down, they think that you helped them up, and them saying that you helped them not doing anything for you. That is the compliment they gave you, and this is fine. Ha! Man, that's so far from me. I'm not that type of person. That's not helping me. I'm not that type of person. I want to help you, and that's facts. I want to help you, right? But if knock on wood, I don't have to ever get to that point in my life where somebody complimented me where I really need help. More than just complimenting me. And that's where it gets to where a person complimenting me is the most they're going to do for me regardless of what they do for them. That's not helpful to me. I'm living today, and that's not how I see things. I'm not personally inspired by somebody telling me what I did for them and leave me in the ditch and leave me to fend for myself to get out of the ditch. No, I'm not motivated by that. This is Community Organic, okay?
It's 16 minutes after the hour here on the program. Graham Kakuna for the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. Don't just listen. Talk. Get involved. We want to hear from you. Call We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. It's true. You spend a lot of time with somebody, your characteristics rub off.
You're not wrong about that a lot. It's like a lot of those things. Like, even people you don't, you're like, oh, I don't really care for this person, and they can rub off on you, too. Like, you'd be, like, looking for what this person is. You'd be looking out for them. And some people take it the wrong way. They start feeling themselves like they all that, and realize it's not just that, baby. It's seeing you so much that it's like, man, it's like I'm like trash is on the ground. You wondering how the trash got here. Because some trash, you be like, man, how did trash get in this area? It blows. Some of that trash blows. And it's getting a little crimps and things like that.
Here it is. You care about the company you keep, but damn the torpedoes. I decided I was going to make a friend.
They said the company you keep is torpedoes. I know everyone he's talking. Excuse me.
I decided I was going to make a friend. Actually, more than one. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing. Just like that, I set off on my journey. See, that's what I was going to do. I was going to decide to just talk to these people. Maybe just get inside them, what they're all about. The first random vagrant I came across, that once again, they were everywhere. Like everyone else, the first thing he looked up at me and said, spare change? I sat down and asked him point blank, what's your story? He said, my story, why are you asking? Thought fair is fair. Tell him mine first. I sat down there and I told him everything that I've told you. What you know. I was born and raised in McKinleyville, spent most of my life coasting, not really thinking about the big picture, just a guy getting by. I just wouldn't do anything as long as it meant. Meant survival, stop and smell the roses. Until just like that, I met a guy in McGinnico case, been taking me all around, been picking up garbage and helping the homeless. He looked at me and said, you helping the homeless? Well, help me. Hook me up with some spare change so I get something to eat, hero. I just looked at him. We're trying to basically help in every way possible, not just give. Let's start with some cash. He had his hand out right to me. I told him, I'll talk to Organic, but we're doing more than just that. We're trying to make this start sheltering people. He looked at me for a second and then let out a long, hard laugh. This city? Oh, man, you haven't lived here long enough to know. There's nothing like good means for the homeless in this city. They throw us up. It's like a trash you're picking up. And more than that, all the way gamblers who fly out here on their own dime just to throw their money away. They won't spare so much as one core for us who are rotting here on the street. Not a dang penny. You going to change all that? Go ahead and try, brother. They say it's not one person can make a difference. I told him, I'm not just one person. There's a lot of us. There's a whole bunch of us on this trip basically doing all this. We're going off and making some big change. We've made some progress a lot of these things we went to. We do it here, too. You know how something? The city is more than just legalized gambling. The city has the means to give the homeless what they need. No one needs to be without a place to live and some kind of steady employment. And even if there are enough opportunities to help everyone, surely we can make it so more helped. He got right in my face. Like, how? I was stunned. He had me. I just sat there for a moment just thinking real hard. What am I going to do? We picked up a lot of the litter that was dumped on the streets. The streets look a little nicer, but somehow this town still looks... It looked like you imagined Vegas would look in the future, one of those science fiction movies where society is broken down and some evil little creature is running amok. I mean, we actually got a few homeless people in a homeless program. We got to take a few more. But we're really going to help in the grand scheme of things. I guess you're Organic. What do we do? He said, oh, okay. Well, we'll fight even harder. Do what you've been doing. Do it to the umpteenth degree. But first, make friends. I told him, we're going to make some changes, but first, tell me your story. Tell me what happened to you, I asked him. He gestured for me to sit down. I tried to make myself comfortable as a street curb can be. Possibly, he said, I worked in 3 casinos. I was a promoter. I got the casino I worked at more business. I increased their take by almost 50%, but when I started approaching middle age, they chucked me out in favor of someone younger who was willing to work harder for less. I was going to start a family. I was living in the hotel in the casino. I lived there. I worked there. It was perfect. And then it was gone. I gave those people the the best years of my life. They're right up from underneath me. See, there's no thing as job security, no thing as tenure anymore. It's a dang joke. Look around. Look at the people they threw out on the dang streets here. America was once a great, strong country. Now all that's gone. Until we make some changes, that's not going to change. We're all doomed. He sat down, looked at me, smiled, and said, I accepted that a long time ago. I was stunned. Was he right? I mean, I know we were out here doing something, but we're really making as big a difference as we thought we were. Seriously, how's picking up more of some of the garbage off the street, some of the vagabonds, a few more, going to really convince others to join us to really fix this broken system? Because, you see, it's not just about us doing a good deed here and there. The way all this is going to work is if everybody decides to get together, rolls up their sleeves, and decides that they want to make things better. But it seemed like they didn't. Seriously, how is picking up some garbage here and there going to really help? Honestly, no, see, Organic, I'm really going to ask you this mess in your heart. Was our example going to convince others to do the same? Rather the majority roll up their sleeves to save the majority of humanity from this horrible curse? I got my doubts. Everybody has to join in. Everybody has to decide they want to save humanity and make the physical, laborious effort to do so. And I sat there and thought about it, and the more I did, the more depressed I got. Can we put out a fire or two? And we got the message out there in some of the media, because you notice there's a lot of news, a lot of documentaries, some kind of reporting on the homeless problem that's been going around. Still didn't feel like we made enough of a dent. But, you know, every moment that passes, the damn home, every moment, it's most we're talking, time passes, the homeless population is going up. And the trash we pick up, people basically just feel the need to just throw new trash there in spades. Go ahead and litter like crazy, like the only thing keeping you alive. There's a rich philanthropist and his crazy friends who are picking up whatever you leave behind. Is this going to motivate people? I basically said it was nice to meet him. I shook his hand and walked away. I feel the weight of the world on my back. I felt like Jesus forced to carry the cross. What good are we really doing? I just kept walking and talking, looking around all the vagabonds and thinking to myself, how are we going to help them? God, it ate at me. Well, finally, I just told my breath, okay, just keep on trucking, even if it feels like a lost cause. Talk to vagabonds. At the very least, just try to talk to them. Be their friend, even if it's just for a short while, a little while. Hear what they got to say. I couldn't forget what, even for a short while, a little while, I just couldn't forget what the last guy told me. I would never forget it. I came across another vagabond. Took them on. They were everywhere. But I finally woke up the nerve to talk to another one. I walked right up to her and I asked her, hey, babe, what's your story? She looked at me and said, what are you looking for, a date? I said no immediately. I backed off. I know I had some liaisons basically on this trip, but I decided I didn't need any more at the time being. I told her my story, McKinleyville, an aimless drifter, my father throwing me out, not there ever happened to be with each other, the organic in the woods, him asking me to join me on the trip to save the world, blah, blah, blah. And this is another adventure we had, and how I was doing here in Las Vegas for some. We were leaving in a little while. Organic said he had enough and was ready to move on. I said, tell me your story. She just laughed and said, why? That's part of how we're helping, just listening to people. She gave me a sharp grin. She was missing some teeth. She said, I'm happy where I am. I was shocked. I wasn't ready for that. It was a relief to hear. Maybe we won't have to work so hard. She went into me. She hesitated to get so close because she smelled ripe. But she said to me, buddy, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Listen, this is really secret. Something special. This isn't just something anybody knows. I want to stay here on the streets. I was a prisoner. I had to spend my whole life walking the line. Got to get up early and fight to get to work, a job I grew to hate. Got to watch every penny, worry about money, got to save everything. Got to find ways to live without spending a cent. Walk the line every day, that every moment. I couldn't take it anymore. I'm free now. I'm living on the streets. And I'm okay. I beg for spare change, but I'm not a prisoner. The people who are here, out here trying to hold on to their own jobs and their apartments. They are slaves. Me, I'm free. I live my own purse, my own time and way. Now, that just took me all aback. I mean, come on, doesn't that just leave you speechless? And isn't it good to know that every single person on the streets right now is a human soul damned? I was relieved. But still, we were supposed to help these people, so you tell me, how the hell to help this one? Maybe she needed any help. So I wanted to hear more. I said, what do you do now? Be me. I go around and live my life my own damn way. Now I have to beg for money. That doesn't mean I'm not working for it. You got a better life. Your life is much easier. It's kind of similar, though. You got some of the same thing going on. You go on picking up trash and helping the homeless community. Someone else is paying your bills and funding. And all you got to do is this. You see what a sweet deal you got here? I mean, I had a deal like that. The words hit home for me. I really had a good deal. She saw it. I mean, there are people who are basically professionally picking up garbage whenever, and no one is really taking care of them. Well, again, it was taking care of me. She saw it. I mean, I knew I got lucky, but she helped me to figure out how much really I was blessed. And then it occurred to me, maybe she could join the band. I thought, no, we got too many already. Organic isn't going to want to support these people. All of them. I mean, does he really want to have to basically take care of everybody? I mean, I want to give her a gig like this, but really for her to basically be doing what we've been doing, coming around all with us, she might like it. I know Organic is going to invite everyone to join. Can't afford that. But at the same time, I don't know. She said she was happy living like this. I thought about everybody. Thought about all those people down there in the flood tunnel, all the people basically down here littering the streets, in a city which looks like it's made of money. In the middle of the desert, they built the ultimate tourist trap. And honest to God, or whatever you believe in, honest, she was happy. But a lot of people aren't. They're not helping these people. I don't know. It was something. What to do? I don't know. I just don't know. What to do? What to be? What to be? Finally, I went basically back to Organic. I said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go wherever you're going to take me. I'm ready. And Organic asked me, remember you asked me, Organic, you asked me what I did. And I said, I made some friends. I heard their stories. And things aren't so bad on the streets. Some people are really living out there. I still want to make it, basically, so nobody has to be homeless. Nobody has to be. I want to make that. I want to make that a thing. But the truth is, it wasn't going to be a cakewalk. It hadn't been so far. Right before we left, I saw some guy basically finish his drink and throw right there on the street where I just picked up. You know how basically when you were a kid and you start to make a mess after your mom had just cleaned the house or whatever, you think she's just being nuts, but you don't realize it until basically someone is dirtying up something you just work to clean. Dang. I said, okay, I'm ready for our next adventure. I'm ready for the next place. Where are we going? Organic said, dude, you know we get there. All right. Thank you for listening to Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. One and only, except an Organic OK.
This is Kamino Organic OK, and I enjoy listening to the program today, and as one of this kind of programs, I was wanting to say, man, can he apparently do a double episode tonight? I was like, man, this is one of these episodes I want to do double. Just to see what to come to next. This is Kamino Organic OK. Thank you for tuning in to Kakuna from the microphone, hosted by DJ Butterfly Feces. Thank you. I enjoyed the show tonight. And I enjoy the viewers that will potentially listen to the show.
Thank you all for tuning in. You can get all our shows on blogtalkradio.com. Tune in next week for the next installment. Thank you, and good night.